To and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Jesus loves people. Sometimes that phrase is used as a cliche, but it's not. True. It's biblical, God-given truth. Jesus loves people. Sometimes we take that for granted, but it is quite remarkable. The Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, He who dwells far above all heavens, He who is pure and holy, spotless and righteous in Himself, loves us, loves you. Not generally, not in the abstract, but personally, specifically, really and truly. And our scripture lessons today give us evidence of that abiding love of Jesus Christ, our God and Lord. Our gospel lesson begins with Him saying, "I have compassion on the crowds." Before they asked, before they approached, nobody prompted Him. He, of His boundless love, declares, "I have compassion." No doubt you've heard about this word compassion in other sermons and Bible studies. It's a very important word in the Gospels, a word that is always used of our Lord Jesus Christ and His divine acts. Compassion means to suffer with someone, to share someone's sorrows. And it is the sorrows of other people that prompt Jesus to compassion, that move Him to compassion. Here in our Gospel account today, our Lord is moved to compassion because of the hunger of the crowd, their bodily need, the danger they faced if they were to return to their homes without earthly sustenance. Elsewhere, we find that our Lord has compassion on the crowds when He sees that they are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The Lord Jesus has compassion. He shares in and with our sufferings and sorrows because He is a man just like us, having true, real flesh and blood, body and soul, mind and will. He is a human being in every way. Therefore, He rightly has compassion. But of course, our Lord is not simply true man, He is also true God. Therefore, being true God, His compassion isn't just a feeling, not just a mere note of sympathy, but rather it moves Him and motivates Him to act. And being true God, the fullness of the divine dwelling in Him bodily, He is able to act. He is mighty to save. And so from His boundless compassion flow all of Christ's mighty works. Healed and helped the crowds with a sympathetic touch and a powerful word. And it is worth noting, our scripture lessons again so masterfully point out, that our Lord's compassion is both physical and spiritual. He doesn't just care for our souls, forgiving our sins, nor does He just care for our bodies, providing food and drink. Rather, He cares for us in every way. After all, He created us, body and soul. In the beginning, He formed Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, body and soul. And He provided for Adam and his bride Eve in the garden in both body and soul. He gave them every tree of the garden, every plant for food to sustain their bodies. And the one tree that He withheld from them, the one tree that He did not give to them for daily bread, was still given to them for their souls, to be their place of worship, a place of obedience and reverence, a place where they could remember what the Lord had said and obey His command. So even then in the garden, before sin entered the world, our Lord in His compassion provided for the bodies and the souls of Adam and Eve, first parents. And then, of course, in that desolate place where the 4,000 gathered to hear him, our Lord showed his compassion. Compassion that once again was prompted by suffering. The dangers that faced that crowd were twofold. They were spiritually under attack, not only from the devil, the world, and their own sinful flesh, but also from those wicked shepherds and hired hands who cared not for their souls. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests, and the scribes taught the people but vain traditions and foolish superstitions, so that they would be like sheep without a shepherd. But their bodies were in trouble also. Again, weak from a lack of food over a long 3 days in a desolate place. Our Lord looked upon the crowds, and he knew that without his divine help and comfort, they would faint on the way, both spiritually and physically. And so he takes care of their needs. Out of his boundless compassion, he provides for their needs. Most certainly of their spiritual needs, the needs of the soul. 3 days he taught them. Pure teaching, spoken by the Word made flesh. For 3 days he stood before them and taught them of the kingdom of God. And note that he didn't shorten his sermon because some of them had come a long way. He didn't keep his remarks short because some of them were growing hungry. He knew that the spiritual bread of the word that he was feeding them was of the utmost importance. After all, what did he quote to the devil when he was tempted? But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He knew that it is God's word that satisfies, strengthens, upholds, renews, and refreshes the soul. It's a good reminder for all of us that our utmost, highest concern ought to be for the Word of God, far more than any earthly concerns. Because what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but forfeit his own soul? And yet, even as he provided for that deepest need, teaching them for 3 days, he was not indifferent to their bodies. He was not apathetic to the cost at which they remained to listen to him. The Lord knows what is given up for his sake. The Lord recognizes what is sacrificed for his word and for his kingdom, which is why he promises, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. For your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. He knows what is given up for his sake, and he knows how to care and provide for the one who has given it. Like he would later say to Peter, who reminded Jesus that he and the other apostles had left everything in order to follow him. He said, everyone who has left houses and brothers and sisters and father and mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. So having provided an abundant feast of the soul for them, the pure preaching of the word, he then provided daily bread, loaves and fish in abundance, for all those gathered in the way that he knew to be best. For he truly had compassion on the crowds, on everyone. Not just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. All people whom he made are all alike objects of his compassion. And so just like he had provided for that largely Jewish crowd earlier, a crowd of 5,000, and taking 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and multiplying it so that all could eat and be satisfied, and there were 12 baskets of leftovers. So on this occasion, takes loaves and fish and multiplies it so that all could eat and there would be leftovers. But he doesn't do it in exactly the same way, no. Then with the 5,000, he took fewer loaves for more people with more leftovers. Here, more loaves, but fewer people. Fewer leftovers, which goes to remind us that God's judgment is perfect. He knows exactly what to provide, how much to provide, when to provide, and to whom to provide it, even if it doesn't always align with our reason and understanding. The external blessings we enjoy might not be the same neighbor to neighbor, but the Lord's compassion, his divine action, is always true. as it is said in the Old Testament. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, either by many or by few. 5 loaves, 7 loaves, 2 fish, a few fish, 12 baskets, 7 baskets. In the end, God provides, and he knows exactly how to provide. He took those loaves in his almighty divine hands, yet human hands at the same time, gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to the disciples, commanding them to hand them out to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. But as you well know, after you eat a delicious meal, one that fills your belly and leaves you satisfied, it doesn't take long before you're hungry again. The people ate and were satisfied. They heard the word of the Lord and were filled in their souls. But their need continued, which is why our Lord's compassion moved him to even greater things. Prompted by our sorrows, our Lord had compassion on all mankind, all children of Adam, all who share in the corruption that was brought upon the world because of his disobedience. Our Lord saw that we were all alike slaves of sin. He saw that the fruit that we were getting of the things of which we are now ashamed was rotten. He saw the end for all of us, death. And so he took on himself flesh and blood like unto us in every way, but without sin. He was willing to humble himself by becoming obedient unto death, even death on the cross. He was willing to be named a man of sorrows, suffering with us, suffering for us. Of his boundless compassion for you, for all people, he gave his very body and blood on the cross for you to set you free from your slavery to sin once and for all. By his death on the cross, Jesus Christ paid the wages of sin for you in your place. His holy and precious blood, that you might receive the free gift of God, which is eternal life in him. The Lord's compassion extends to you, chiefly in holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death on the cross for you. Compassion by which he offered himself endures forever. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, his ear dull that he cannot hear. And yet how often, like those disciples, do we forget how our Lord has provided in the past? They knew how he had fed 5,000 with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and yet they wonder once again how one could feed 4,000 people, 1,000 fewer people, in such a desolate place. We have the account of both feedings, plus many, many other examples and teachings of our Lord's compassion and bountiful provision in the Bible. Again and again, we read and we hear how God looked upon his people with compassion and provided for them in ways that they could not expect. We know the teaching of the Lord, that he has compassion on us, that he will surely provide for us. We have our own lives and histories by which we can be reminded of God's compassion, how he has cared for us in our souls, forgiving our sins, taking away our guilt and shame, calling us to be his own, declaring us righteous in his sight, making us his dear children. We know how he's provided for our bodies, healing us from diseases, granting to us jobs and incomes, families, children, spouses, and more. And yet the moment that we don't see proof in front of our eyes of God's ongoing compassion and provision, how quickly we forget. Well, let these words be a reminder. Let these words strike your ears and your hearts. That, as Psalm 34 says, the rich suffer want and hunger, but those who seek and fear the Lord lack no good thing. Psalm 37, I've been young, and now I am old, and yet have not seen the righteous man forsaken, nor his seed go in search of bread. Psalm 55, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. The Lord has compassion, even when we forget. And from today's gospel lesson, we can take comfort that our Lord did not lose his temper with those disciples. He did not brush them off in anger. He had compassion on their weakness too. So he has compassion on us, even when we forget. He has, and he will continue to provide for you all your days. He is God. He does not change. Glory and the majesty into which he entered at his ascension does not end his human nature or his compassionate heart toward you. If in compassion he helped those 4,000 people before they even turned to him for it, how much more will he help you when you come before him in prayer and bring all your needs before him? Needs of the body, giving you everything that you need even without your notice, and needs of the soul, feeding you with the bread of life, the bread of heaven, his holy word, teaching, comforting, strengthening you by this word, enlightening you with the gifts of his Holy Spirit, yes, even feeding you his very body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. The Lord Jesus does not change. He loved people. He loves people still. He will always love people. He loves you. Loves you personally, loves you specifically. He has compassion on you, which is why he provides for you, now, in every way. Someday he will fully satisfy you and take away from you all hunger and all thirst, for he will someday bring you to sit at his heavenly banquet table, that you might feast with him in his very presence, with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And so in God and in God alone, find every need, every desire, every longing satisfied and filled. By God's grace, may he grant this unto every one of us. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.